The fourth, we believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show. Turn up your mind.
The Supreme Court really laying out the bottom line here in that the president, for one, is not absolutely immune from these criminal subpoenas while in office. That is rebutting what his lawyers argued vociferously at oral arguments in May, saying the president is absolutely immune. The Supreme Court saying, no, he is not. In the other case, the Supreme Court also saying that Congress does have a right to have access to the president's financial records and documents. However, in both cases, there are limits and there is a heightened standard. So really, the Supreme Court saying while it can be done, it likely will not be done anytime before the election in less than 4 months.
Damn. Hi, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. So it was a good end of the Supreme Court's reign of decision making, right? We got a good decision on LGBT rights. We got a good decision. You know, not so good on contraception, but, you know, I think contraception is now down to $15 a month. So this should be, you know, somewhat okay. But if you work for religious zealots or people who morally want to impose their will on your uterus, you're kind of screwed, according to this the Supreme Court. But the things that we were really, you know, besides for the LGBT issues. I got to tell you, before we get off on the, the tax thing. Oklahoma, East Oklahoma, they ruled today. The Supreme Court didn't. This is not getting a lot of airplay. Okay, this just isn't. But I think it's, like, amazing. The Supreme Court ruled that most of eastern Oklahoma is Indian territory. Congratulations.
Oh!
Seriously, that was a case, I think it was McGirt. You can go look that up on the on any of the blogs. Eastern Oklahoma, it's not yours. Just want to say, you better get your act together. Anyway, so today we heard the two decisions about Donald Trump's tax returns. One was a case that a subpoena was issued by the New York District Attorney, Cyrus Vance, who has a really lousy reputation in dealing with men of power. You'll remember he sort of excused Harvey Weinstein's behavior for a really stinking long time, right? Also, a little, stuff with Epstein and some other things. Interesting, but Cyrus Vance actually ended up with the tax issue stuffed in his lap. I mean, just pounded on him. I don't think he was looking for it. I don't think he wanted it. I don't even know who, what his deal is. But it ended up in his wheelhouse because Michael Cohen testified. Remember? I hear Michael Cohen had somehow posted a picture of himself outside at a restaurant in New York in the middle of a pandemic. Just like stupid never wears off. And he's now been remanded. You know, they let him out because of the COVID. They let him out of prison. The only kosher prison in the United States. They let him out of Otisville. And he went home. Now, just keep in mind, you can't stay in prison because of COVID, but you can go to school. Okay, that makes sense. Anyway, so Cohen was let out of prison because of COVID, and then he photographed himself at a restaurant outside. He's supposed to be under house arrest, not leaving the house. So he just got sent back to federal custody. Isn't that fun? Don't you love it when you screw up on every level? But anyway, Cyrus Vance ended up with this case because Michael Cohen testified in front of the House, remember, where he said and introduced into evidence years of Donald Trump's financial statements, not his tax returns, but his financial statements, where Michael Cohen was able to show Congress that Donald Trump inflated and deflated the value of properties depending on what he was using the value for. So if it was for insurance purposes, he would inflate the value, or if it was for tax purposes, he would deflate the value. This is how this became a case, right?
Mr. Trump is a cheat. As previously stated, I'm giving to the committee today 3 years of Mr. Trump's personal financial statements from 2011, 2012, and 2013.
Whoops.
Which he gave to Deutsche Bank to inquire about a loan to buy the Buffalo Bills and to Forbes. These are exhibits 1A, 1B, and 1C to my testimony. It was my experience that Mr. Trump inflated his total assets when it served his purposes, such as trying to be listed amongst the wealthiest people in Forbes, and deflated his assets to reduce his real estate taxes.
Whoops.
I'm sharing with you two newspaper articles side by side that are examples of Mr. Trump inflating and deflating his assets, as I said, to suit his financial interests. These are exhibit two to my testimony.
He's a rat. Comes from a family of rats. Yeah, and then remember AOC said, and who else would know about this?
To your knowledge, did the president ever provide inflated assets to an insurance company?
Yes.
Who else knows that the president did this?
Alan Weisselberg, Ron Lieberman, and Matthew Calamari.
And where would the committee find more information on this? Do you think we need to review his financial statements and his tax returns in order to compare them?
Yes, and you'd find it at the Trump Org.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so the Supreme Court weighed in on the congressional request for his taxes and the district attorney in New York's subpoena for his taxes. The Supreme Court found that president does not have what his lawyer, Jay Sekulow, claimed in court, absolute immunity, because he's the president. Here was Jay Sekulow's argument in front of the Supreme Court.
No county district attorney in our nation's history has issued criminal process against the sitting president of the United States, and for good reason. The Constitution does not allow it. Temporary presidential immunity is constitutionally required. The decision would allow any DA to harass, distract, and interfere with the sitting president. It subjects the president to local prejudice that can influence prosecutorial decisions, and to state grand juries who can then be utilized to issue compulsory criminal process in the form of subpoenas targeting the president. This is not mere speculation. It is precisely what has taken place in this case and with the subpoena we challenge.
You don't argue that the grand jury cannot investigate the president, do you?
We have targeted the utilization of the temporary immunity here to the subpoena. That's correct.
Well, in other words, it's okay for the grand jury to investigate, except it can't use the traditional and most effective device that grand juries have typically used, which is the subpoena.
Counsel, it seems that you're asking for a broadness of immunity that Justice Thomas pointed out is nowhere in the Constitution. I'm not sure why he's entitled to more immunity for private acts than he should be for public acts.
Well, he's the president of the United States.
Yeah, well, guess what?
The issue cannot be that the president is immune. So this is a defeat for the president, because ultimately, and Starwalt can weigh in on this better than I can. Ultimately, this might not affect the election, but it certainly will affect the president's peace of mind, because he knows at some point his bitter nemesis, who's conducting a criminal investigation of him, Cy Vance, a criminal investigation predicated on the testimony given to Vance by the president's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, eventually that's going to go forward. Whether it happens before November or after November is a question of whether the courts can get all this done. I would think this will be resolved before November. It's July. The subpoena is extensive. It demands 10 years worth of information.
Wow.
But the accountants say they have it and they're ready to turn it over.
Whoops. So on the subpoena, the New York district attorney likely will get Donald Trump's taxes prior to the election. However, they will go to a grand jury. So we will not know them. We will not see them. We will not have knowledge of them.